Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, is anyone there? Is anyone on? Is Brother Parker, Brother Johnson on?
This is Brother Leroy Williams with the Par Edition Church of Christ in Wharton, Texas.
Amen, amen. Brother Parker Jr., are you on? How about Brother Johnson?
I'm trying to make my mind. We got Brother talking on. Brother Parker,
go ahead.
I'm trying to work on it.
Okay, all right. Well, welcome to the Bible basic instructions before leaving Earth. We're blessed to be here on the program this evening, brought to you by Dale and Luke Church of Christ, and also in conjunction with Bridget Church of Christ. This is our Tuesday evening program from 7:30 to 8:30, and also we have the Thursday evening Bible questions and answers program from 7:30 to 8:30. We're blessed to have on our panel Brother Parker Jr. of the Dale and Luke Church of Christ, Brother Johnson and Brother Williams also of Wharton, Texas. All these men are very fantastic gospel preachers who are sincere and who love the word of God. So we're blessed to be able to sit under their counsel this evening. And also, although it's Tuesday night and although this is our sermon program, we always like for our listening audience to know that if you have a Bible question, we still would address it, even on this program tonight. So if you have a Bible question, you can always press 1, and our coordinator, Brother Brown, he'll let you in. And we just appreciate Brother Brown for serving as our program administrator, and we're just blessed to be here on this evening. I'll turn it over to Brother Parker Jr. Is he on now?
Yes, I'm on now. Thank you, Brother Parker Phillips.
Yes, sir.
And Brother Johnson, Brother Williams. Brother Brown, we want to first of all see if there's anyone on that needs to come on to press button number 1. If you have something to say, question, or statement, please press button 1. Brother Brown, do we have anybody on?
Oh, sorry, just the people listening, that's it.
Just listening, is Brother Trey on? He said he was going to call in. Is he on? Brother Trey?
No, sir, not yet.
Not yet, okay, well, Brother Johnson, he's ready. We're going to keep dealing with the Word of God and what's going on. I'd like for us all to think in our mind. You don't have to say it, but I'm going to say it what I said as a child growing up in this used-to-be great country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and for the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You know, now we are a nation that's on the way to total destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Our nation was built up upon the beliefs in God, under the authority of God, one nation under God. And now we've been divided and everything else. Our Supreme Court has got so wicked until it's not only divided, it just called God, he's a lie, and get out of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Church of Christ is going to be here. And this is why we are so powerfully preaching this word on the program that we have on Tuesday night and Thursday night, asking for questions and answers. Because the Bible tells us, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. So whatever you want to do, America, if you want to go to hell, us believers of the church and members of the body of Christ, we want to go to heaven.
Amen.
And so we're going to start off with that tonight. Anytime you have a question or want to say something, press button number 1. Brother Johnson, please introduce yourself, sir.
Okay. I've been doing some studying on putting brethren in remembrance of these things, and then I want to I want to start off with tonight. Brethren, the Church of Christ is not going anywhere.
Amen.
Jesus made the claim, and I love the way he put it. He says in Matthew 16 and verse 18, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Mm-hmm.
Man may say, oh, the church is finna go. No, the church will be here until Jesus decides to come get it. If it ain't the one that's in the plate there.
That's
in
right.
1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24, he said he's coming back to deliver the church of God to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So we know
Amen.
That the church is going to still stand, regardless
Amen.
Of what it go through or the crisis it go through. I think about the Apostle Paul, how he preached all of these sermons, and he kept preaching the word. He didn't give up. You know, a lot of times we get pressed down. But, brethren, I'm here to tell you, you got to stand when you can't stand.
Amen.
You just stand anyway. I know I said that the last time. I'm going to say it this time. Stand when you can't stand. Stand anyway. Because God's word will stand forever. Matthew 24, verse 35, says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand. It's also in Luke 21, 33. It's also in Isaiah 40, and verse 8. He said, the flower withered, the grass faded, but the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Man.
We can depend Amen. On the word of God. You know, it's a blessing to have the word of God. But I want to say it's a blessing to be able to read the word of God and to study the word of God and
Amen.
To meditate upon the word of God. And, brethren, follow the word of God.
Amen.
We must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to
yes.
a lost and dying and sick generation.
Amen.
The world is sick, Brother Parker, the third and fourth, Brother William, Brother Brown. We know it is sick. It's sin sick. It needs a doctor to cure its ailments. It needs Dr. Jesus to take away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
No one in the world can take away the sins of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus don't take it away, it'll never be taken away.
All right.
Jesus
Amen.
Is the only one can take away the sins.
Amen.
Brethren, I notice when we study the word of God, men keep falling into sin.
Yes.
Brethren,
Amen.
We're going to have to stand up and fight against the sin. Call it what it is. It ain't no really mistake. Man just sinning.
Amen.
Man got to realize that he got to quit it.
Man.
We got men want to play this homosexual role.
Well.
Apostle Paul said in Romans, the first chapter, it went on then, it's going on now. It's even in the Leviticus letter, the 18th
yeah.
chapter, beginning at verse 1 through 18. But back in the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through, excuse me, through 26.
Amen.
God is tired of it. I know he is. But
yes.
God is a patient God. He is willing for not any man to perish, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. He willing for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16 through 18. But when men choose not to do it, then God got to step in and wipe out the wickedness.
Yes.
God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
We see all kind of things going on today. All kind of wickedness going on. Some
Amen.
People trying to hide the wickedness. But you can't cover up sin. I was
Amen.
Reading today in 2 Samuel where David tried to cover his sin with Bathsheba. It didn't work, Brother Parker, the third and fourth, Brother William. Brother
yes.
Brown, it didn't work.
Amen.
He couldn't cover it. God would not let that man go to his house. He told, David told him to go home. He wouldn't even go. Slept outside all night. He was trying to cover his sin. But God will not let you cover sin. You're going to
mm-hmm.
have to confess it. You're going to have to get rid of it.
Amen.
You're going to have to do what God says. See,
mm-hmm.
sin is what's ruining our world. It done ruined it so bad. Are we a one nation under God? I don't believe so.
No.
Because I don't believe that because we don't even say, the kids don't even say the Pledge of Allegiance no more. I remember when I was going to school,
yeah.
we had to say it.
Yeah.
But I don't even think
yeah.
these kids even know what it is.
Amen.
If they do, I never hear them say it. You see, those golden rules that we had, Brother Parker, Brother William, and Brother Parker the fourth, and Brother Brown, those were the best times of life. When
mm-hmm.
the teacher said, stand up, and said, pledge allegiance to the flag, we stood, and we said it, and we didn't stumble. But now, no one's saying anything.
Right.
I remember when I was in grade school, Brother Parker, most time we said a prayer.
Yeah.
Now we don't even say that no more.
Mm-mm.
We don't say anything
Amen.
About God anymore. All we
mm-hmm.
do is curse God to his face now. Say all
yeah.
kinds of evil about God.
Yes.
Huh? We say all
yes.
kinds of things about God.
Amen.
And what makes it so bad, brethren, that we know better, too. And we
Amen.
Got some of our old generation think they're all of that and won't do God's will. But let me tell you something. We better get right.
Yes.
Now, look what happened. We saw the flood. We're going to see another one before it's too, ain't going to be too long because some more rain finna come in. And it might be
yes.
worse than the first one we saw.
Mm-hmm.
See, God is getting
yes.
tired of the mess. He's getting tired of it, Brother William. See, we think
yes,
we
sir.
Can get away with it. We can't get away with sin.
New
Brother,
command.
We got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Mark, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse, chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth
yes.
not shall be damned.
Yes.
He's
that's
going
that's
to hell if he don't do what God says.
Amen.
God has done told us preachers what to preach from the book.
Yes.
And we got to preach it whether they like it or whether they don't like it.
Amen.
Huh? We got to tell the nations of the world. We got to tell our neighbors, friends, relatives, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, cousins, that God is on the throne. God
yes.
is the one that's doing the judging. Not us.
Yes.
We are the priest of gospel to a lost and dying generation.
Yes.
This world is dying so fast, that even the movie stars are dying just as fast as we are.
Yes.
They're leaving here. They don't even know Jesus. They talked about this young man last week, a whole week. Y'all know who I'm talking about. They called him the Prince. And they talked about him a whole week. But he
Amen.
Still didn't do nothing for his soul. All his money couldn't help him. Huh? Talk to me.
Yes.
Couldn't
yes,
help
sir.
Him. You see, your money can't help you. Because my Bible tells me in James chapter 1, between verses 5 to 12, he said about the faith of the rich, the people that are rich in faith. He ain't said nothing about money. But if you are rich in faith towards God, you got it made. Because you are in Christ. But if you die on the outside, you are lost. I don't care if you're rich or poor or whatever, a middle class. If you die on the outside, you can't be saved.
Amen.
You're going to have to come to Jesus the way he told you to. And Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18 through 20, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and lo, I am with you even until the end of the world.
Amen.
Jesus said, go do it. You see, Jesus is the bread of life. Huh?
Yes.
John 6 and 58. Not me, not you, no one can take the place of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me.
Yes.
Yes, Jesus said it. We know he said it because it's in the Word. In Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
Jesus is in heaven. He's settled in heaven now. He ain't coming back down here to set up anything. We got folks now talking about he coming to set up a kingdom. The kingdom is already set up. The kingdom is the church. And you are in the kingdom already if you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have not, then you are in hell already going that way.
Yes.
You're already headed for hell and don't even try to get away with it. Don't be like King David, sin and keep sinning. Don't be like Solomon and all the rest of those guys that sinned and never got it right. David repented. I love the way he did it. He repented. I don't read nothing about his son repenting. But you see, God wants man to repent and be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter told everybody that day what to do from the Holy Spirit. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what he said to do. He didn't tell you to go join no church.
No,
he didn't tell you to go to church. He didn't tell you to do all of that. He told you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 1, beginning at verse 15, he said, for so much is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome.
I'm
ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, the gospel is of Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God.
Yeah.
Huh? He said, the power of God unto salvation. Huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
And when he said that, he meant it. He didn't say it for no pleasure. He said it because Apostle Paul pinned it down through the Holy Spirit. The gospel was saved.
Amen.
If a man don't obey the gospel, he gonna be lost.
Amen.
That's right.
You got to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, what we trying to do is get around the gospel. We trying to go around the book. You got to go into the book.
Amen.
You got to go into the book and open the book and see what God has to say about your soul's salvation.
Yes.
For Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men.
Amen.
Yep.
See, it has appeared unto all men, Brother William, Brother Parker the Third, Brother Parker the Fourth, Brother Brown.
Yeah.
It appeared to every man, but every man won't receive it because he don't think Jesus can save him.
Yeah. No faith.
That's his problem. If Jesus couldn't save you, then what did we got a Bible for?
Jesus.
The Bible is your avenue to heaven. It's the book of instructions. It's the book of life.
Amen.
John 6 and verse 62 and 63. We got to go to the life. Who is the life? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We got to go to Jesus to get it, not to the preacher.
Amen.
Not to your minister or your, quote me, so-called pastor, radio lad. I want you to hear this because you need to hear what Jesus is talking about. Shut that preacher down.
Yes.
And hear what Jesus got to say. Jesus is on the throne, not your preacher.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Talk to me. Got too many people listening to the preacher. If he's not preaching it right, he need to go sit down somewhere.
Yes. Amen.
God's going to hold us in account for what we teach and what we say and what we do, Brother Parker the Third and Fourth, and Brother William and Brother Brown.
Amen.
God is going to hold us. We need to stand on the word of God and tell it like it is. Don't be afraid. I said it the last time. I'm going to say it again. Don't be afraid. God do not need cowards in his army.
Amen.
Don't be like in the seventh chapter of Judges when God told Gideon to tell all those who were afraid to go home.
Yeah.
He said, go home.
Amen.
If you're afraid, go home. Put that Bible up.
Amen.
Stand on the word. So I know it's right. It's not going nowhere. Man lying down every day, Brother Parker. And men are not getting up until Jesus said to get up.
Yeah.
The Bible is right. We must face reality. We must stand on the word of God.
Yeah.
Jesus told Nicodemus what to do. He told him he had to be born again. That applies to us today.
Amen.
We have to be born of the water and of the spirit before we can enter into the kingdom of God. If we try to go any other way, Brother William, we are a thief and a robber, like John 10 verses 1 through 10.
Yeah.
We can't go no other way but through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
See, the world needs to know this. The world is dying. Every second minute, 175,000 people are leaving here.
Yeah.
Funeral homes are full up. People are dying without the Christ.
That's
Jesus
right.
Jesus told us what to do. I'm putting the brethren in remembrance of these things. We need to preach tight. Preach tight as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Call it what it is. My brethren, the world is in sin and is going to hell because of the sin.
Amen.
Yes. Jesus done told us what to do. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and 21, he says, the like unfigured, baptism does also now save the, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism saved. People say, well, who's right? God or man? I say God is right.
Yes.
In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, Lord.
You got to put Christ on. You got to get rid of the sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get rid of the sin, you're going to die in your sin, according to John 8:21-24.
Yes.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get rid of the sin.
Yes.
You know why a lot of times we can't get nothing through Jesus? Because we got sin in the way. I'm talking about the church got it in the way. We got a lot of folks in the church are living in sin, and they want to go to God in prayer. And they say, well, I can't get my prayer through. I know why they can't get it through. Because they're not living for Christ. They're living for the world.
Yeah.
The Bible telling us, God is warning us, church, get it right.
Because
if Jesus come back and you're not in the church that he purchased with his own blood, Acts 20:28, he said, take heed therefore which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. Feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
Christ purchased the church. I don't read why any man purchased the church.
That's right.
God had 12 apostles, Brother Parker, the third and fourth, Brother Williams, Brother Brown, and now one of them didn't purchase their blood for no church.
No.
Right.
Huh? They did not purchase no church for the, no blood for the church. Jesus was the only one, because the Bible said in John 19:34, the soldier pierced him in the side and came forth blood and water.
Amen.
Huh? Talk to me.
Amen.
Blood and water came forth through, Brother William. Not nothing else. Man ain't got sense enough to stand up and do that kind of thing. Let the blood come through and the water. He would have been hollering and screaming and carrying on. Jesus died and it was over. And the blood came. And the blood came. And then you know what it does? It takes away your sin when you go in that watery grave of baptism. When you go down in that water, Christ operates on your head. He operates on the spiritual man. Colossians 2:12. Huh?
Amen. Amen.
He operates. That's why I said we need the physician, the great physician. Jesus Christ is the doctor. He is the great physician. He can heal you the same day through the watery grave of baptism. I'm not talking about your flesh and blood. I'm talking about your immortal soul.
Yeah,
that's
man.
What I'm talking about. He can heal it, and not only that, he can add you to the church. Huh?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
You can't add me to nothing. You can't add me to no church or anything on this earth. If Jesus don't add me, I never get in.
Yeah.
Jesus made it possible for us to get in, and we don't even want that. What do we want from God? What do we want from God? God gave us the greatest book in the whole wide world.
Amen.
I mean, we could read it from cover to cover and still won't do what he tells us. We'll put up a fight. We'll put up an argument. We'll start cussing and clowning. We'll start acting foolish. We'll cuss Jesus out and let the devil walk.
Right.
We'll cuss Jesus out and let the devil walk. Now that is enough pitiful. We say we're serving God, but we're serving the devil. You know what? It's so sad. Most of our brethren now trust in the devil more than he is God.
Man.
Amen. You're right.
Talk to me. We know to trust God, but we won't even trust him. God to trust me. And then we got some of our brethren forget about God.
Yeah.
I was reading today, Brother William, that got my attention. the children
yes.
of Israel in Numbers 106. Not Numbers, but Psalms 106. That's what I wanted. Psalms 106.
Uh-huh.
And when I was reading there, it said, they forgot God. Now, God
yes.
has blessed these people that come out of the land of Egypt, and he blessed them, and guess what? They turned their back on it.
Yep.
Yes. That's sad. Here God
yes.
wants to bless this radio station, and how many call?
Not many.
Huh? You see what I'm talking about? But now let you get a Baptist on the radio, and a Catholic on the radio, and a Jehovah's
yeah.
Witness, and you got everybody calling. You can't get
yeah.
no, you can't even get the line open because everybody calling. But when it comes down to the Church of Christ, everybody freezes up.
And that breaks my heart.
That breaks my heart when my own brethren won't even call in. My own
yeah.
brethren is my worst enemy.
Mm,
I read that
amen.
Today in Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Paul said they was his worst enemy right there. His own Jewish brethren, some of my own brethren right now, you said call in. I'm going to call, and never call. Why? Because they don't believe what we teach them. They say they do, but they don't.
Well?
They just like Amaziah, Brother William, in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1 through 4.
Yes.
They did everything. The man did everything according to what God had said, but not with a perfect heart.
Amen.
What was the problem? You know what his problem was? Money was one of them, and the other one, he bowed out to some other gods.
Yes.
We got folk in the church doing the same thing. Money is the problem, and they bow out to other gods. We can't get nothing through, so we're going to bow out to the other gods. Let me tell you something right now. When you bow down to another God other than the God of heaven, Psalm 115, verse 3, you going to go to hell for that. You going to lose
yeah.
your soul if you don't repent of that.
That's right.
We're not to bow down to another God.
That's
we're
right.
We're bow to the one that's written in the book. Huh?
Man.
Right.
Yeah.
The one that's written in the book, that's the one I'm going to serve. I'm not
yes.
serving man on this earth because he ain't none of my God.
Amen.
I'm serving the God of heaven and of
mm-hmm.
earth. When he served, when he made both, he made them both. And man wasn't nowhere around when he made them. It is so sad we can't get nobody calling on a radio station. If they're calling, they're calling foolishly. We
yes.
don't need that. We need to tell them what God has said. God has
Amen.
Told us what to do.
That's
if we
right.
don't take a stand, brother, are we going to fall by the wayside?
Never.
Huh? Let's see what we're going to do. God wants his people to stand. God wants his people to go forward.
Yes.
But we're so concerned going backwards too much. I'm
mm-hmm.
going forward. Me and you, Brother William, we're going forward. Now, I don't
my
know about
God.
The other brothers. But we're going forward. When we left
we
one place,
go
we're going forward. Let's keep
yes.
that in mind. The Church of Christ needs to go forward. Quit looking back at the past. Because you can't do nothing about the past. All you can do is go forward. If God bless you to get out of a situation, go forward and serve the God of heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
The devil mm-hmm. has nothing to offer but sin and death. And
that's
you can
right.
get that anywhere.
Amen.
Look at the world. Look at the world. Just take a look at it sometime. Go outside and just
mm-hmm.
look around you. Sometime I love to go outside and sit in my wheelchair and just look around. I said, Lord, have mercy. I was looking at the trees today, Brother William, how they
yes.
were bobbing to the God of heaven. How many can do that today? Can't no man breathe like God and make the trees bow to him. Huh?
All right.
The trees bow to God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but man thinks he all of that. Let me tell you something. You better get it right.
Yes.
You say the Apostle Paul made a statement. I'm getting ready to close on this one, brother. The Apostle Paul made a statement and said in Romans, the 6th chapter, and begin at verse 1, he made this statement clearly and plain. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, for so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, was baptized into his death. Like as Christ was raised from the dead, we should also walk in the newness of life.
Man.
We are alive, brother, from within our bodies. But we can die if we play with sin.
Yes.
Sin will kill you. Please believe me, brethren. Sin will kill us. This is a warning to the world. Sin is killing the world. That little bitty word, Brother William, three-letter word is killing the world. It's like an antidote that you put in some milk and you drink it and it'll kill you like strychnine. It's killing us. It's killing our souls. When the soul is dying, Brother Parker, we got a problem. Our soul is dying, Brother William, because of sin. We got to get rid of it or we're going to lose our soul and go to hell. I don't want to go there. I don't even want God to show me what it looked like. I heard enough about hell to last me a lifetime. What about yourself? I turn it to you, Brother Parker, and let you go from there.
Yes, we have a conversation and preaching that we just had just now.
Yes.
So, is there anyone that wants to have something to say or ask a question? Press button number one. Button number one?
Yeah, we got some people online. If you have a question, just press number one and I'll get to you. Yes, I just did.
All right. Yes, sir. Glad to have you on and keep listening. Get some questions for us and ask or talk or whatever you want to do. This time we're going to ask Brother Williams. Are you ready, Brother Williams?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Just introduce yourself and come right on.
I'm Brother Williams, one of the co-ministers of the Par Edition Church of Christ here in Warden, Texas, along with my fellow minister, Brother James Johnson, whom you just heard from. And we're glad to be on the radio tonight. We're glad to be on this broadcast. We're glad that there are those who are listening in. And what we're glad of is we got the glad news of the gospel of salvation from Jesus Christ, who died for us, who loved us, who gave himself for us, and who wants to save all men everywhere.
Amen.
And I just thank Brother Johnson for insisting that we all focus and that we all pay attention to and listen to Christ. When Jesus was being glorified in the transfiguration and before his three disciples, the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and in the presence of God the Father, Jesus was being glorified. It said that his clothes were shining. They were as white as light, and his face shined as bright as the noonday sun.
Amen.
And Peter and James and John, they were there, and Peter was observant, and Peter was so excited. It was a marvelous sight, and Peter made a suggestion. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here, but I have a suggestion. Can we make three? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I've got a question. I'm sorry.
I've got a question coming in. All right, go ahead. Yes,
you have a question. Last four numbers, your phone number is
6427. 6427?
Yes.
Yes, I have a question. And going back to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear me?
You're breaking up a little bit. I heard 1 Samuel 16, and then you stopped.
Okay, that's what's in this up here, so it's pretty bad. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 16.
Verses 14 through 16?
Yes.
Okay.
My question is about Saul. When he disobeyed God's command, why did God send him an evil spirit if all good things come from him?
All right. Your question is, why did God send him an evil spirit?
An evil spirit. If only good things come from God. Why was that done? I know because he disobeyed, but only good things come from God. So it's because of the covenant, or can you clear that for me?
Yes. What we need to understand here is that it's not so much God sent an evil spirit to Saul. The absence of the presence of God in your life is hell. And the spirit of evil, the spirit of the devil, is the spirit that you receive when you reject, refuse, or cast out the spirit of God from your life. Whenever we are against God, we are disobedient to God, we reject God, we refuse Christ, then we have no other choice but to either accept Satan. See, if you don't accept Christ, then you don't have Christ in your life. You are condemned. And all that speaks to is the fact that when Saul or any person, whenever we reject God, we reject the word of God, we are refusing the Spirit. The Spirit gave the word. It published it through many authors. These were inspired men. The Holy Spirit inspired men to write the word of God, which is the mind of God. When we refuse the mind of God, the reason we refuse it is twofold. We lack faith in God, and as a result, we are listening to the voice that is against God. Satan is the adversary. Satan is the enemy. And Satan is a spirit being just like God. Satan is not the all-powerful God that Jehovah God is. Satan does not have all power. God is powerful over Satan. But Satan is real. And if you don't accept Christ and you don't accept God's will and God's word in your life, then you have Satan to deal with. The spirit that Saul had was because of his own fleshly desire. We all deal with a inner spirit, the spirit of our mind, that lusts to sin. That's the spirit that Saul had. Yeah. When God's spirit leaves you, you have no power over that spirit. It's already there. The spirit of God comes into our life so that we have the ability, the strength, the wisdom, and the direction to fight against and to overcome the spirit of our mind, that evil spirit of mine. When God's spirit leaves, that's the only spirit you have left.
There was something else you wanted to say, man. What was that?
But I want to interject here. But in the 14th verse, it says the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him.
The evil spirit did what? You're breaking up a little bit. The evil spirit did what?
She says that the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him.
Why would it be from the Lord?
I'm looking at what you're saying. It says that the evil spirit or distressing spirit from the Lord troubled Saul when the spirit of the Lord departed from him. Now, is the spirit of the Lord evil?
And
look at 14. The spirit of the Lord, is the spirit of the Lord evil? No. It's the spirit of Satan that is evil. That spirit is warring in our flesh against the spirit of God in our life. Okay? And that's what Saul was dealing with. when we go, we but Barbara, you gonna say something?
Yeah, I want to say something. Here's literally what they're talking about. God has just now given us His word. This is why we have this program on, to preach the doctrine of Christ and hope that people will obey the gospel. And if you sin and you're still a member of the Church of Christ, you can repent and God will be inclusively involved in your life. Saul was a leader, and he sinned against God.
That's
God
right.
was no longer with him. God will know that our sin separates us from God. Any human being on earth, their sins separate them from God. And Satan, that's what he's here for. He and his angels were kicked out of heaven. Hell is where they are. And they're trying to recruit as many people on planet earth to go to hell with them. And when we
stop
doing God's word, those of us that know the truth and stop doing it or make a mistake, get it right and get back with God. Because
Amen.
Once you disobey God, He's no longer with you. I am is not with me when I'm raising hell. You know, you get out there and do some sinning, stealing, killing, cussing, fussing, you know, acting crazy, smoking that dope and going on. God's not in you then. He can stay in you then. He leaves you. Then Satan come on in and go to work and try to keep you burning up in hell if he can. Ma'am, did you have anything else to say?
Yes, I have another question.
Go ahead on that.
Let me go back in. 1 Samuel 31, chapter 5. Okay. And then 1 Samuel 31st chapter 5th verse, and then I want to refer to 2 Samuel 1st chapter verse 9. And 1 Samuel, I know that the Bible doesn't contradict itself, so I need you to explain it to me how it probably happened. It says, and when Saul's arm bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. Yet in the 2 Samuel, first chapter, ninth verse, Amalekite went to David and said that he killed Saul. Because Saul asked him to, and it's in verse 9 of 2 Samuel, first chapter.
Second Samuel, the ninth or fourth, first chapter?
I'm referring to two books, the first Samuel.
Yeah, what are you reading from that? What are you reading? What's the chapter?
Which one?
The one where you said. Yeah, go to the first question you asked and tell us what book, chapter, and verse.
Okay.
Yeah, 1 Samuel
31, 5th verse.
First chapter 31 and the 5th verse?
Yes.
Okay. Brother, y'all over there now?
Yeah, we here.
First chapter 31, verse 5. Okay. And read that, ma'am.
And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul was dead.
He said when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him.
Right.
He killed even his own life.
I'm comparing.
He did what?
Samuel.
You're concerned about what?
Samuel. First chapter and the ninth verse.
First chapter, and the first chapter and the ninth verse?
Yes. And this is when, I don't pronounce it correctly, Amalekite.
Let me get there.
Are you in 1 Samuel, the second chapter, or 2 Samuel?
I'm in the 2 Samuel now, the first chapter.
2 Samuel, first chapter. What verse are you looking at?
I'm looking at verse 9.
Okay. We're kind of getting a little confused because you're breaking up a little bit, and we're trying to keep up with what you're saying. And so I hope all the brethren can hear. She's talking about 2 Samuel, chapter 1.
I see it.
Okay. What verse 5?
Verse 9.
Verse 9. Okay.
It said, he said unto me, again, stand, and I pray unto thee upon me, and slay me, for anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me.
Okay, continue to read chapter 2.
So I stood up on him and slew him because I was sure that he would not live. After that, he was fallen, and I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them hither. Into my Lord.
Yeah, he took that. So that was the escape, the battle. And he stayed through Saul until he was dead. So two different, why is the 1 Samuel said that Saul killed himself, and the 2 Samuel said that the escapee killed himself? You understand what I mean?
But read that carefully in 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 5. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So he was already dead when the armor bearer killed himself. And then when you over in verse 9, he said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me. For anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. Which one do you think you're talking about?
Well, they're saying, to me, it's saying two different things. The armor bearer killed himself because Saul killed himself upon his own sword. And then 2 Samuel, the man that escaped the battle.
Start at verse 1. Start in verse 1 in 2 Samuel chapter 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag.
Mm-hmm.
It came to pass over on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and an earth upon his head. And so it was, when he came to David, that he fell on the earth and did obedience. And David said unto him, from whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, How went the man? I pray thee, tell me. And he asked, and he answered, that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. And David said unto him, young man that told me, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, is dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Solomon leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called me, and I answered him, and here I am. And he said unto him, whom art thou? And I answered unto him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish is upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought them hither unto my Lord. And David took hold of his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted unto even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. They were already dead, and they appeared, and they asked the man to kill them because they thought they still had their soul with them. Here,
yeah, brother Parker.
Yes, sir.
The lady has chosen some verses out of a total context, a story that was being told. The young man was a liar, but he was talking and telling David something that David could not know personally. And so if you read the entirety of the first chapters of the book of Samuel, you will find out that David saw through the lying circumstance. This man was an Amalekite. The Amalekites feared the nation of Israel. Yet this man happened to see Saul in battle or in the battlefield and decided to go, and Saul asked him to kill him. That's not the character of an Israeli soldier of that day. It was an honor to die upon your own sword rather than to allow your enemy to kill you. David knew this because David was a man of war. But if we read verses 13 and following, we'll find out what that was about. That's not what happened to Saul. That young man lied.
Let's go down there. That's right. I want to go down. But go on. Read on further down.
In verse 13, it says, David said to the young man again. Now, he already asked him this once. He asked him again, where are you from? He answered, I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite. David said to him, how was it that you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? You see, this doesn't make sense. This is not a wartime act, okay? An enemy soldier, Saul was a king. He was the Lord's anointed. He would not ask, nor would he request that his enemy, and especially a young man, just somebody of the enemy, kill him in the field of battle. That doesn't make sense. He doesn't let the enemy soldier kill him. He had an armor bearer who was right there with him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So David called one of the young men and said to him, go near and execute him. He called one of his soldiers and told him, go kill that young man. And he struck him so that he died. And David said, your blood is on your own head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, I have killed the Lord's anointed. That's a lie. You did not kill the Lord's anointed. And David knew this. David was perceptive.
And ma'am, this is why. Are you there, ma'am? Still, are you still there, ma'am? Hello?
She might be listening in. Back in verse, back in second,
brother. In. The point.
Back
the point,
in verse.
I'm glad. What did you say? Yes, sir.
I think she.
Yes, sir.
I don't have no more. We got some more questions in. Hold on one
second.
All right, good. Yeah, Brother Brown, go ahead.
Yeah, how y'all doing? Great program. I had somebody ask me at work, was Lucifer and Satan the same person? They say that they read that Lucifer and Satan are totally different.
Did they give you a scripture or anything to read on the whatever?
No, they actually went to another book. And I told
them,
no, we only go by the Bible. So.
Right. You know, there are a lot of books that are written out here now. The King James Version of the Bible is the one that's most acceptable. They're adding to these Bibles some of everything and anything now. You know, just to confuse the people, just like the woman that called in. You know, as we were going to read down, we wanted her to see that. Even in Samuel, he said that the man was a liar that said that. See, that was a That was a lie, just like we have today. All kinds of things are being said that were supposed to have happened in the Bible, and men are writing Bibles to tell their lie to keep the people confused. We're in bad spiritual situation now. And the Church of Christ got to stand up to the plate like we did back in Acts chapter 2. Just keep preaching, you know. And we don't know what's going to happen to preachers or people that go out and believe in the gospel. Are they going to be put in jail or beat or whatever? Look at Apostle Paul and all the apostles and everything, beaten and carrying on and killed and everything. You know, those days may repeat themselves, but here's the most wonderful thing we can all think about. If we do right, live right, preach right, you don't have to worry about nothing on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
You belong to God. And God has always taken care of his own. So you see, he got America in bad shape now, and these young people out here, they're all messed up and mixed up. I was talking to a young boy just the other day, man. He's still in high school. And he's talking about how what a wonderful thing the government did, said a man can marry a man, a woman can have a woman. He had a little effeminacy in him, or they had put him in him, whatever. I don't know what they did to him, but he's going to be gay. And he's embracing it. And these young people now, they believe more in the United States government than they do in God. We were called one nation under God. And their moms and dads are not taking them to church or nowhere else. Then they're going to church where all the preacher women, the mothers and the honeys, and tell all the lies they can. It is a Sunday morning nightclub now where they get entertained and feel good and walk out and get that money. We're going to hell in a handbasket if we don't straighten up and fly away this church. Just like you saying, those lies that are told. I'm glad you called us, Brian, on that. Brown.
Yes.
Because that is a wonderful thing. We need to know to keep studying the Word of God.
Yes.
Because people are telling so many lies out here, ain't nothing funny. But Brown, when you finish with your question, did you ever come in anything? Hello?
Brother Parker?
We got some more questions.
Yes. Okay, Brother Parker. This is Brother Williams. We want to be sure to clarify the question that the lady was asking, because she went to two texts of scripture. In the first text, in 1 Samuel 31, it says that Saul fell upon his own sword. The conduct of war. A king did not ask, nor would a king want to be captured in a battle. Okay? That's not the conduct of war. Is if the enemy presses you so, don't let the enemy take your life. It's an honor for you to take your own life. Saul was wounded by an arrow. Somehow in the battle, in the conflict with the Philistines, he received an arrow in his body, and it wounded him, and it wounded him such that he was slow and he was crippled. His sons had been killed in that same battle. It names all three of them: Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. They were all killed in that battle. And then Saul was injured. He was wounded by an arrow. He asked his armor bearer to kill him. His armor bearer refused. Why? Because like David said, no one has the right to lift his hand against God's anointed. The armor bearer knew that. He refused to kill Saul. Saul fell on his own sword. The armor bearer, seeing that his master had fallen on his sword, he was dead, he killed himself. That was an honor to die with his Lord. That was Saul. Saul was his Lord, his ruler. It was an honor to die with his Lord. So we got to understand, the rules of war, the code of conduct in war and battle was such that Saul would not allow a young boy or a young soldier, an unknown enemy of his people who came into, how did he come into the battlefield? They were battling the Philistines. He's not a Philistine, he was an Amalekite. Two different nations. He's going to be in the battlefield, and Saul's going to ask him to kill him? And he had an armor bearer standing right there with a sword. No, the truth occurred when we read the account in verse 4 through verse number 7 of 1 Samuel 31. the young man came and told David a lie. He was seeking favor from David, and David called through the lie. So we just want to be sure that we clear this up. Two different things didn't happen. Only one thing happened.
Yes, here's something else, too. It's good the young lady called in. Just read it very carefully because it explains itself when it's read. You know, if you're an honorable soldier of the Lord, then it wouldn't be an honor for you to let somebody kill you.
No.
You see, that was under the law. And so what we see now, we can't interpret that some other different kind of way like some scholars do, and they tell the people these things. But there was a reason why, you know, because, you know, themselves or whatever, God allowed that to happen too. Now, think about this. Even in today's lives, a lot of times a lot of our big leaders may be in war with the Army, Navy, Marines, or somebody, and they'll be flying back on an airplane, and the whole black plane blew up. You know, and they know that nobody, if anybody could have or should have killed them, it didn't go down like that. It's an honor to be even a member of the body of Christ. If we're living a Christian life, we let our lives be in the hand of God.
Yeah.
And He will make a way out of no way for us. And He won't let nobody touch our lives. Really? If we're living the right life, when it comes, it'll be a glorious day. And that's why we need to walk in the footsteps of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Someone said that blood.
We are soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay? But we didn't die a physical death. We died a spiritual death. We died with our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse number 4. For as many of you as were baptized, do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ, that no, for by baptism are we buried with Him. Okay, in verse 3 it said, do you not know that as many of you were baptized into Christ, were baptized to His death? We are buried with Him by baptism into death, that just like Christ was raised from the dead to walk in newness of life, even so we also should walk in newness of life. See, this thing about that we look at here in 1 Samuel chapter 31 is a allegory. It's a scene of what we deal with in Christ. We die with Christ. He is our Lord. We are raised with Him. And we fight the fight of faith. We are fighting. We died to the love and practice of sin, and we are alive to fight against sin. It's a spiritual life that we have been given by Christ.
Here's the point that we were bringing out with her, though. We understand that in that part. But now we all died and were buried again in Christ Jesus and raised up a new creation in Christ Jesus. But we got to stay in the footsteps of Jesus, but we're not going to stay here on this earth forever. And we got to
live
in the footsteps. Now, when you've been in church 15, 20 years, and then you die out there on some dope out there trying to rob or steal and kill, so you're going to hell. What we're trying to let them know is that, look, once you've been born again, you got to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. You got to
live right
and die right. And heaven will be your home. I've been through some great sights of people that were 90 and 70-some years old, and they had lived good lives. One I'll never forget, she was up in the state, I forgot where in Texas now, but she lived to be 102 years old. And she was still going to church. My dad was up there preaching in East Texas there. And I'm telling you, that lady said, look, she took real sick. Because she was cooking at home at 102 years old, and the fire caught her down and burned, and she was in pretty bad shape. But we go visit her, and she said, "I'm just waiting on Jesus. I've never seen anybody say it like that and behave like that." She said, "I'm just waiting on Jesus." You know, I'll never forget that. And see, here's what we've got to do. We gotta live on this life and live the right life.
Amen.
And die right. That woman died right. We were at her side when she died. Hello?
Yeah, Brother Paul,
yeah.
We got
Hello?
Another. Yeah, we got another question.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah,
okay. Brother Trey. Is this Brother Trey?
Yeah. Waiting on who?
You
say she was waiting on who? Or
no,
wait, whom was she waiting on?
Who was waiting
she,
on?
She was waiting
on
the
Lord.
Lord.
She was waiting on the Lord. That she died. Sister Nina Lewis. She died. She was 102 years old. She was ready to die. She said, I'm just waiting on Jesus. And the day she died, we all visited with her. And it was a Sunday. She couldn't come to church because she had burned herself when she was cooking. She was still cooking and taking care of stuff in her own house. And a gown got caught on fire, and it was real. It was some bad burning on her. And the doctor knew it was just a matter of time. And we took communion and everything over there with her and everything. And she said it. She, I think it took about 3 or 4 weeks before she passed away. The last time we went through it, she said, I'm just waiting on Jesus. Every Sunday she said, I'm just waiting on Jesus.
Okay. That right there, that's cool now. Don't get me wrong. Look up.
Yeah.
Everybody. Beekman, Palm Center Church of Christ. So I'm putting out my church. My preacher, my officiator is Brother Dwight Gibb.
Right.
Come on through, y'all. Everybody, come on through. Come on through. Man, we not tripping, man. We some good dudes over there and some good ladies too, by the way. But come on through the church high. But look here. What I wanna talk about. Look here.
Last time I called in,
one of the brothers up there at the show, man, like, you know, he wanted to get down with me. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Look, I will present myself wherever. I am a Church of Christ member. I reside at 540. Man, I start calling out my numbers. Look, I have not been married yet. I don't believe in divorce. I don't believe in none of that. That's the way that I feel. And I'm a man, and I stand up to it. Okay? Now, if somebody want to talk that hot. I say, I charge you up. I mean it. Brother, no. My brother from Texas City, what's up, brother? Hey, TC, what's up?
What's
man, look, you get a divorce. You ain't supposed to get no divorce. You a punk to me, man.
Who are you talking about?
Man, anybody get a divorce from their wife, man. You married, man. You supposed to stay married, man. You a punk.
Well, I wouldn't use that word. But you're not
you
using
a
it.
You a punk,
right.
And I charge
you
up. I charge
you
up, man. Because what happened is that, you know, I suffered, man. Look here. My mama, she went through a divorce with my old man, whatever. Yeah. They went through it. But you a punk.
Okay, now you can't define that word. That's not a word that you can define and make it biblical at all. That's a street word. Now here's what the deal is. You know what the worst thing you can be? You can use that word all you want to, but if you got unrighteously divorced, you are a hellion then. Because if you got unrighteously divorced and you remarried again, you still a fornicator or an adulterer. Until the day you die, so you're a hellion. And that's worse than the word that you're trying to use there with that.
You a punk.
You know?
You a punk.
And see, the people that they use that word for today, no, God condemned it way back in the book of Genesis. Man can't sleep with man. Woman can't. Man can't sleep with man. And a
I think that's called an abomination, ain't it? Ain't it something like that? Man, they call it an abomination,
that's
I believe, right?
Word
right?
To apply to it. It is a meaningful word to apply to it. You're going to go to hell for it. But then God did never create a man to marry a man, or never created a woman to marry a woman, not even to sleep with one. He didn't create dogs and cats and horses and cows for men and women to sleep with and monkeys and everything else. So this way, our United States now is on the way to hell. And the church, people in the church now are kind of leaning toward what the country said. It's not what the country said. It's what God said. And we better stick with what God says.
I know, that's right. And then also, I'm going to say this right here, though. My preacher at Palm Center Church of Christ, right over there in Yellowstone, turned to Beekman, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm telling everybody. It's a good church. It's a good church. Brother Dwight Gibbs, man,
Dwight
he's a good dude. He married and all this here, and he got it going on, okay? And
right,
all my other brothers, my brothers in Christ, huh, they cool.
All right. Well, good.
Man, you a punk, man. Like, if you, and I'm calling you out, man. Shoot, man, like, you want to square me up?
What was that you telling
me?
Does anybody
ever want to
square you up?
No. No, man, I'm just talking about last time I called in. You know, man, I talked with man, my brother from TC. He said, well, we ain't going to answer his phone call or something like that. Yeah, all right. What up, man? Because, like, you know, and I'm going to square anybody out. Look, you're a man, be a man. Stop divorcing these girls. Stop going to these clubs. Stop that. You got daughters, man. Come on, man. No, I ain't hearing that, man, because I got daughters. Man, my daughter.
I don't know who you're talking about, but I know you're not talking about me.
Okay.
I know you're not talking about me.
Where do you want to meet me at?
I've been married one time in my life. I started preaching at 8 years old, and I've been preaching ever since. Now, I don't know who you're talking about over in Texas City. Call a name and tell me I know. Look here. One place I don't want to go is the hell. So all I'm saying is that, listen, you
man, like
know,
you're a good
you
dude, though.
You. I've been married to the same woman.
I know, man. Like, you're a good dude, though, preacher.
Same woman. And I've been preaching to ever since I was 8 years old. I've been around the world. I'm known in 52 foreign countries. I have top security clearance from the United States government that I can go to countries that other men can't go to.
Well, but look, preacher, I'm not discussing you.
Okay, well,
I'm not discussing you, Mr. Preacher Thurman. I'm not discussing you. I'm discussing all these other N words. Like, you know what I'm getting at? Because, like, my wife, and then, man, here goes some Nick. Well, y'all not married. Nah, man, that's my wife. She got baptized into the body. Like, you know what I'm saying? The thing is, man, I got a good looking woman, yellow bone, freckles, all that there, right there, okay? She good looking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, man, here go a nigga.
No, you N word on internet.
Okay,
N
word, right?
Well, a black man.
Man,
yeah.
I ain't tripping. I'm not tripping. Because you the one, Brother Parker, you the one that got me back into the Church of Christ, and you
right.
the one. No. Brother. Lewis Parker got me back into the Church of Christ.
Right.
Him. And he also got my mama back into the Church of Christ.
Yes.
Brother Lewis Parker from Texas City.
Yes.
And then, like, he go out there, man, because I'm going to put him out there. His son got a church out there on Darren Luke, I believe.
Yes.
He got a church out there on Darren Luke.
Yes.
That's on the north side.
That's on the north.
Right.
But Brother Parker, a real dude. He a real dude, and he stand by his word. Man, when my woman got confirmed, guess what? Brother Parker out there with his wife, too. Okay?
Yeah.
He come through there. Man, I'm trying to tell you, Brother Parker, he a real dude. He a real dude, man. He's a stand-up guy. Okay?
Right.
He's a stand-up guy. He's a stand-up guy. Man, because some of these dudes ain't. Hey, look here, by the way, my preacher at Palm Center, he a stand-up dude, too.
Yeah.
Brother Dwight Gibbs.
Yes, I know him.
Yeah. He a real dude. He real dude. He real dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, just man, y'all need to come to church. Just come on to church, please. Please.
Now, here's what we're doing. It's about 9 o'clock now or something, and I think everybody else might be off, and I don't know. They'll cut us off when we close out.
Okay.
Are there any other questions? Anybody else called? Brother Riley, you still with us? I believe he's gone.
They didn't go off the horn because I didn't put them to shame. You know, I put somebody to shame real fast.
Call back in on Thursday. Call earlier, man, and we know you're online.
Them boys,
okay? Because Lewis had opened it up. Lewis the fourth, my son, had opened it up, and he said we could go from 7:30 to 8:30, and we're advanced that now. So we'll clear that out and get it cleared out, and then call in early, for Thursday, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Yo.
All right. If you take care now, we're gonna all say good night, okay? All right. That's right.